Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome to a premium hangout with the Lotus Eaters. Today we're here to talk about the most compassionate and merciful of faiths.
I'm not saying it's anything to do with Islam.
Average English people are responsible for the crimes we're about to discuss, I'm sure.
Well, that's certainly the narrative that some people have been promoting. Yeah. What I thought we'd do is take a look at a non-exhaustive timeline of the public information about the grooming gangs that is available to anyone using the Google machine, right? Because we are seeing, I'm personally seeing, a lot of denialism about this. And so I thought I'd put together a very long list of publicly available pieces of information that anyone would be able to have access to build up a picture of what has happened in the past, say, 20 years in Britain regarding this. I'll start about 2009, where you can see here in The Guardian, the English Defence League is stirring up trouble in the streets. Football fans being recruited to join protests against Muslims. How worried should the authorities be? And of course, they, in this quote, Tommy Robinson, explaining, look, this is a natural phenomenon that kind of came out of the way that we felt that we were being treated by close contact with these communities. And all the way back in January 2011, you have Apologia being written by one Dr. Ella Cockbane. Familiar with her?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she'll come up quite a lot.
I think you've... did you end up watching the Tommy Robinson Russia speech he gave?
Yeah, it was a while ago I gave it.
There's a couple of things missing from this period, to add context, which is there's actually a quote from Tommy, I think it's like 2007 or something, really early in his career, where he's asked by the Times, why have you set up the EDL?
Yeah.
And one of the quotes from him is because of the pimping and grooming going on in towns across the country.
Yeah.
Pimping and grooming. This was ignored, obviously.
Yeah.
And then in 2010, so just before this article here, I believe, is when Andrew Norfolk at The Times, the newspaper that interviewed Tommy, is like, hang on a minute, I've uncovered a grooming scandal.
Yeah.
And he's credited with the founding and why he's given all the journalistic,
But that's awards. Why I started with Tommy.
Because, sure, but that bit's missing because Andrew Norfolk is the one who's celebrated in the mainstream constantly.
Good point.
And it's weird.
Yeah. Anyway, the important part from Helen Braley and Ella Cockbane's defense here is they say that the comments follow claims of cultural silence has impeded investigations into a hidden pattern of offending by British Pakistani gangs sexually abusing hundreds of young white girls. All of that's true, apart from the scale. It's not hundreds; it's way more than that. The
viewpoints.
It's way more than that. The viewpoints of the convictions of 56 men, all but three of whom were Asian and mostly from the British Pakistani community. Found guilty of offences of on-street grooming. But Braley and Cockbane, whose six-month study was cited as evidence, said they are worried that the limited data had been extended to characterise an entire crime type, in particular of race and gender. They challenged claims that the white girls were deliberately sought out by offenders. Though the majority were white, so too were the majority of local inhabitants. It's like, oh, it's just coincidence, bro. Comparing the percentage of white people in the areas...
Hang on a minute. She's like, well, per capita? What about per capita of the offenders?
We'll get to that very shortly. But as you can see, apparently black and ethnic minority girls are overrepresented amongst the victims as well.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Never mind that.
Everyone's overrepresented in this. Everyone.
Amongst the victims and nothing else.
And the offenders.
What?
We'll get to it. Anyway, moving on to the next one. June 2011. As you see, people here worrying... fears overreaction to the damning report of child grooming, which shows one in five of those accused is Asian. It's like, actually, it's way higher than that when we actually get more detail on it. But they say that the issue here is that the information is so inaccurate that almost 40% of cases, the ethnicity of the perpetrator is not known, which definitely hides a lot. But why would the information be inaccurate? You'd think that when someone's arrested, it'd be fairly easy to register their ethnicity.
You'd think In defense of the data finders, the police routinely did not collect any ethnicity data.
Yes.
Even though they were told to.
Yeah.
Every year.
I wonder why. But Jack Straw, who was, I think he was the Home Secretary at the time, said child sex grooming was a specific problem in the Pakistani community, which needed to be more open about the reasons behind it. And Mr. Davey says, child sexual exploitation is not exclusive to any single culture, community, race, or religion. It cuts across all communities. Which is why some people are overrepresented and some people are underrepresented.
I really do think that the not understanding per capita meme is real. Yes. I mean, listen to that statement from that politician, though, which is, yeah, but that happens everywhere.
It's not understanding. This is deliberate obfuscation.
In this case, probably. I don't know. I mean, these people are really dense.
Maybe in the case of Naz Shah, but like, or Diane Abbott.
I mean, there's a lot of examples, mate.
there are a lot of examples. But in the case of most Labour politicians, they know what they're doing. Anyway, so May the 8th is 2012 is when the Rochdale grooming gang started exploding outwards. And here you have the case of one particular victim who says that she was forced to have sex with up to 5 different men a day, 4 times a week. 20 different men a week.
How many suspects did they find in the end?
In this particular case...
I'm guessing it's not the amount of people that raped her.
No. No. I mean, that's 20 people alone, right, in 1 week. And this went on for years for her. So, and that's one of the 5 victims.
And if you're trafficking, essentially, sex slaves, then you get quite a lot of customers across the country.
Yeah.
Who will come and drive to engage in that.
Yeah. The names of the convicted men in this case, there are 10 convicted men in this case.
Yay. We found them all, lads.
Murphy, but that's the point. They're in no way talking about any of the customers of these men. These are the men who are simply running the ring, right? Mahfuz Rahman, Abid Khan, Afraz Ahmed, Chowdhury Hussain, Khatab Maya, Muhammad Daoud, Muhammad Zaid, Rehan Ali, and David Law.
David?
Yes, David Law. As you can see in the bottom right there.
So as you can see, it runs across all communities.
Yes.
I do not understand per capita. Why are you asking?
He is, 90% Pakistani, Muslim, 10% English. Anyway, on the 9th of May 2012, it started being reported by the Daily Mail that, well, police aren't dealing with this problem because they're afraid of being called racist. This has been a long-running trope, and... what did people like Ella Cockburn say? No, you're all just a racist, actually. It's just everyone does this. This is totally normal. Organised pimping gangs of teenage girls. Everyone, who doesn't do that? It's all communities do that. The Sikhs, they're always doing it. The Indians, the Buddhists, the Chinese. Like, it's just so totally normal.
Like, I'm thinking, the Hindus in this country have a representation of the prison population. To the nearest percentage, it's 0.
Yeah.
Not the Muslim population. It's a bit high for them.
Yeah. But former Labour MP Kayleigh-Ann Cryer said this in 2012, saying, look, they covered up because they're afraid of being called racist. And we can go back to the previous one. She says, it's an absolute scandal. They were petrified of being called racist and so reverted to the default of political correctness. They had a greater fear of being perceived in that light than dealing with the issue in front of them. So there was a conspiracy of silence identified all the way back in 2012 because of left-wing values of anti-racism. That's what caused this conspiracy of silence. In September 24th, 2012, Daily Mail again, police turned a blind eye to sex grooming gangs for more than a decade. Confidential files reveal. So this was a series of files that was released. Research and reports and case files also revealed that council officials were desperate to cover up any racial link to the abuse of young girls. The research shows a string of warnings dating back as far as 2000 that were ignored by the authorities. In many cases, police action was only taken against the victim. There are a bunch of these that were just awful, just absolutely awful, that were just, the girls were treated as if the girl was the criminal. In fact, one 13-year-old girl was found drunk at 3 a.m. in a derelict house with a large group of adult males who had plied with vodka. She was arrested for a public order offence while the men walked away. Nobody's been punished for this. Nobody has been punished for this, right? According to previously confidential documents seen by the Times, police in Rotherham found evidence of thousands of similar crimes and described networks of Asian males exploiting young white females. Nothing happened. In 2002, Home Office-funded research criticised officers for treating young victims as deviant and promiscuous, while the men they were found with were never questioned or investigated. Dennis McShane, MP for Rotherham, says there's a culture of denial here and cover-up and a refusal to accept the reality that we have men living in the Rotherham community who treat young girls as objects of sexual pleasure. It's time to tell the truth. It's time to root out this evil. Culture of cover-up. Left-wing MPs. For the concerns of anti-racism.
I mean, some people refer to this as a crime of diversity, and some people think, oh, maybe that's just a hyper-politicization of the situation.
I think the problem
is entirely correct.
No, the problem with it is it's too broad a term, right? It includes the Hindu, the Sikh.
Oh, no, they don't mean that. When you say a crime for diversity, it's the ideological position. The reason this was covered up was not because anyone was involved and wanted to cover up their criminal wrongdoing. It was covered up because it went against the ideology.
Yeah, we should call it a crime of anti-racism then. Because that's what that is what's provided explicit cover for this. Anyway, November 13th, 2012, Muslim gang white rape claim prompts row, as in the Conservatives at the time, Chris Hopkins here, said that gangs of Muslim men are raping white kids. And he said that the police felt they needed permission to go after the abusers because of political correctness. Labour MP Yasmin Qureshi warned about playing into the hands of the far right with such accusations. Don't we care about the victims? Who cares about the far right?
I can't even contain it. Oh, God.
I know, right? In regard to the fact that the victims of the abuse were majority white, she said that was coincidental, not deliberate. This will be contradicted later on by imams who say, no, they were deliberately targeting white girls. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, like some of the perpetrators would shout Allahu Akbar as they were being sentenced.
Yes. Do you know who the real problem is here? Men. She warned against losing sight of the bigger picture, that the common factors in all cases of abuse and vulnerability were the fact that the perpetrators were, quote, nearly all men.
Yep, that's really the problem.
Yep.
Just average innocent men.
Do you remember 2012 feminism? This is a men problem. But she does have a good point. It's never the child who has a secure and happy family life. And that is true. They targeted particularly vulnerable girls. Mr. Hopkins said, yes, that's true, but we shouldn't get away from the fact that there were gangs of Muslim men going around raping white kids. Very based on his part.
Well, very basic as well, actually.
Very true, yeah.
Because this is something I just want to pause for a moment. Like, we know about the paedophile elite because of Epstein.
Yep.
Like, we have one example where we can point to and say, yeah, for sure, there is some network of elite people in the
Jimmy
United
Savile.
States. Sure. Without getting just to there.
Sure.
It's that there's some element of the elite in the United States, the elite in the UK, who engage in paedophilic acts. With Epstein, it's far more their trafficking.
Coordinated.
Similar to how these guys, the men who were arrested for operating it, not the customers, right? But that's one. And okay.
Well, there's a reason the judges sealed the files.
And there probably are more, but that's enough for most of the population in the West now to be like, okay, yeah, there's seriously a problem there.
Yeah.
And yeah, in the UK, we know if... at least 20? More than 20?
Yeah.
Operators? Yeah. Never mind the number of customers.
Yeah.
And it's all within one section of life.
It's all within a very narrow margin of the local community. Which makes this next one, very interesting. As a pair of Muslim counsellors in Rochdale had to walk back their personal endorsements of one of the grooming gang members.
Yeah, so this dude was on trial for rape of a child, and these two counsellors...
He was convicted.
Yeah, but this was before he was convicted. He was accused of it. And the two counsellors come out to give character.
Before he was convicted. And then afterwards, after Abdul Qayyem was jailed for 5 years for conspiracy to engage in sexual activity with a child, with eight other men in this thing, Khun Hussein and Zulf Ali had told the jury that he was hardworking and a valued member of the community. Hussein said, I provided the reference in good faith as I had known him for a number of years, and as far as I was aware, he was of good character. He just had no idea. No idea that him and eight of his mates were running a child trafficking ring. Just didn't know.
We went to mosque together constantly, knew each other.
Would have seen him driving around the town.
Yeah, with his female friends.
Yeah, just had no idea. How could this have happened? Anyway, Ella Cockbane's back on 28th of March 2013. Literally white liberal. What are you doing? Why do you need to do this? She claims that the Asian sex gang predator is a racist myth. Grooming is shown to be a dubious category, she says. So now they're not even grooming. We can't even define what grooming is. What's grooming? Who knows? Certainly not Asians doing or Pakistanis doing it, right? She says, the article highlights a fundamental tension in the grooming discourse, showing that claims of a uniquely racial crime threat are ill-founded, but that Asians have been overrepresented relative to the general population among suspected child exploiters identified to date. That's interesting framing, isn't it? Uniquely racial. Who said unique? Who said unique? Because what we've been saying is, as the second half of that sentence, Asians have been overrepresented relative to the general population.
Pakistanis.
No, it's right to call it.
Yeah, no, I'm getting annoyed. Yeah. Because I know in the English language we use Asian to mean like subcontinent of India or something, but
yeah,
it isn't the Japanese.
No.
So, no. It's not the Indians.
Vanishingly few Tibetans amongst the guilty.
Yeah.
But this is the point, though. Notice how she has to frame it. Oh, it's claims of a uniquely racial crime threat. Okay, well, that's...
It's not even a race.
But it's not even a race. You're right. It's absolutely not a race. But that, what she's identified there, is a very, very small number of the people who are saying, look, Muslims are doing it. It's not unique. You know, they've recently found a white grooming gang, an English grooming gang, which is obviously some sort of family, weird, disgusting family, right? And good, hang them.
Yeah, like the white group who were engaging in that trafficking there couldn't go to the neighbours and talk about it.
No.
Because immediately they would call the police or kill them.
Yes.
So.
But the point is, she's identified a very, very small constituency out of the people saying, look, there's no representation of Pakistanis. Yeah, but these people are saying it's only them. Okay, well then they're wrong. But of course that's used to run cover for all of the other accusations that are being made, right? And what I love about this, the article concludes for calling for a shift from the sweeping, ill-founded generalizations. I mean, she just said this.
It's founded on my evidence.
we've literally found that Asians of Muslims are overrepresented, but these are now ill-founded generalizations driving dominant discourse to date. And we want open, level-headed discussions around child exploitation, including but not limited to examining relationships between race and offending. So what we want to do, rather than focus on this particular thing that everyone seems to identify, we'd like to expand it to things that actually may not be relevant and that people haven't identified. Why would you need to do that?
Because I need to dilute the numbers.
Not just that. Also, I think it's about liberal ideology. I need to make sure that this doesn't appear to be a feature of this particular culture. Because remember, all cultures are the same and everyone fundamentally is equal and the same. If that's not the case, then my entire liberal worldview is actually upended there. So I have to run this defense for the grooming gangs in order to maintain liberalism.
You know what Ella does for a living?
Lie.
Live on a university campus.
Yeah, I know.
She just writes and lives in academia.
And she lies. Yeah. She lies a lot. We're going to get into more of her lies
in a minute. There's a reason as to why she's able to keep up her lifestyle.
Yeah.
Which is that she lives in the academic world, which gets government funding and just lives off this.
From the white liberal saying this has got nothing to do with Pakistanis or Islam, to the Pakistani imam who says, no, this is absolutely a Pakistani Muslim problem.
Yeah, but what does he know?
Exactly. What does he know? Surely the white liberal on the university campus knows way more than Dr. Taj Hagi, the imam of the Oxford Islamic congregation, who said that race and religion were inextricably linked to the spate of grooming gang rings in which Muslim men have targeted underage white girls. What a bigot. What a far-right racist, right? He says that the activities of the Oxford sex ring are bound up with religion and race because the men, though of different nationalities, were Muslim and they deliberately targeted vulnerable white girls whom they appear to regard as, quote, easy meat, to use one of their revealing racist phrases. This attitude, he thinks, has been promoted by religious leaders. To pretend it's not a problem in the Islamic community is, quote, ideological denial, as he describes it, which I completely agree with. But then, apart from the reason this scandal happened at all, is precisely because of such politically correct thinking. All of the agencies of the state, including police, social services, and the care system, seemed eager to ignore the sickening exploitation that was happening before their very eyes. Terrified of accusations of racism, desperate not to undermine the official creed of cultural diversity, they took no action against this obvious abuse. He carries on. The view that some Islamic preachers have towards white women can be appalling. They encourage their followers to believe that these women are habitually promiscuous, decadent, and sleazy, sins which are made all the worse by the fact they are kafirs or non-believers. Such cases can only be prevented in the future if Britain abandons the blinkers of political correctness, he concludes.
His advice was ignored.
Of course it was. Ella Cockbane's advice was taken. June 28th, 2013. After he made this statement, obviously a series of Muslim leaders were like, no, we also condemn child sex rings, right? Together Against Grooming was an organization of imams at hundreds of mosques, pledged to read a particular sermon to their congregations during their Friday prayers. The sermon was written to highlight how the Quran emphasized that Muslims must protect the children and the vulnerable. Right? It reminds people that the vast majority of the overwhelming majority of British Muslims condemn child sexual assault as strongly as any other group in modern Britain, says one Muslim, one imam.
Yeah, you probably do, but what do the overwhelming majority of Islamic scholars in Pakistan think about the age of consent? Well, there was a vote on it about this time.
Yes.
We were discussing it.
And to raise it was anti-Islamic.
Yeah, from 9 to 11.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Yeah. But the thing is, and this is the important point, Sheikh Ibrahim Mogra, an imam at the Abu Bakr Mosque in Leicester, said, "People were troubled by us reading the sermon. And one man asked how it could stop being read." Why? Why would you want them to... Well, oh, no, they're not... They're telling us that grooming white girls is bad, according to the Quran. Could you please stop reading that? Why would you need that?
Because it's un-Quranic.
It's not even that it's un-Quranic, actually. It's because the perception... Remember that we operate in different cultures. They operate in a shame culture. We operate in a guilt culture. So saying this out loud brings shame upon the Muslim community as a whole, and that's what they're trying to avoid. This is the source of the culture of silence in the Muslim community. I don't doubt that a lot of the Muslim community do find what happened with the grooming gangs reprehensible, but if you operate in a culture of shame, then you operate a culture of silence because you don't want to bring shame on the community, whereas it's different in the English community. We feel individually culpable for the things that we do. Different worlds. I can see you're not convinced.
No.
But I think that is the case.
I think they really don't care. There's no reason for them to. On a fundamental level, if you're a good Muslim, you believe in living the life of Muhammad. In which case, we have vastly different views of the age of consent.
That is true. This Muslim man who was like, "Can we stop reading this thing out?" He said, "Look, it's not our fault that this happened. Our religion does not teach us to do these things, and we are condemning it." Well, you're not condemning it if you silence the person trying to condemn it. Right?
That's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, this is what Sheikh Mogra said. He said, "Look, our only option then is to speak about it." And the Sheikh is right. I totally agree with him. He's doing the right thing there. The sermon was written by Alias Karamani, an imam and youth worker from Keighley, West Yorkshire, he said, "There's a profound disrespect culture when it comes to treating women. One of the reasons we feel this is the case is because of poor role models." So he admits that it is a problem with the Pakistani Muslim community and their way of that they view women. Anyway, moving on, 2013. This is interesting because this is a paper done by the Muslim Women's Network that argued, yes, it's happening to white women, but also it's happening to Muslim women. And we simply don't talk about that.
No one ever said it wasn't.
That's true. We'll go through this in more detail in a different podcast, actually, because there's a lot to it. But the summary of this, of course, is nearly all of the offenders in the cases studied were of Asian background and mainly of Islamic faith. So it's not that Muslim men won't also do this to Muslim women. It's just the community doesn't want to bring shame on itself and so essentially silences those women. It's almost like the Labour Party is operating a kind of Islamic honour culture when it comes to anti-racism. We don't bring shame on the Pakistani community. Therefore, the victims have to be silenced for
bring
the good intention.
Bring shame to anti-racism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's actually kind of the way that they're approaching this. But this came out in 2013, and I really want to go through this in another podcast on its own, because it's a fascinating document that is genuinely kind of harrowing. Anyway, so December 20th, 2013, Daily Mail reports police ignored victims of the Rochdale grooming gang because they're from council estates. This is, of course, another one of those issues. The victims who were being groomed were not middle-class children. They were working-class children or, like, you know, chav underclass children who nobody particularly cared about. So the MP for Rochdale, Simon Dazzock, warned that class snobbery by police against young girls from council estates allowed these gangs to flourish, which they doubtless did.
So I spoke to Kaylee Hopkins once about this, and for any problems you have with her, she's very good at understanding.
I don't have any problems with her.
No, I mean in general. Yeah. Like, she is very good at understanding how media affects the Conservative Party, people with power. Mm-hmm. And the one thing she said to someone who was talking to her about this, like, "You've got to stop saying it's working class girls who are the victims." And the person said, "Well, why?" Because they are. And she says, "No, you've got to show that it can be middle-class girls as
middle
well.
Middle-class don't care. Yeah.
Otherwise, the people in power, the aristocrats, will never care because it's not their kids.
Yeah.
But what's more revealing about that is she's right, that because it's not their kids, their class of kids. Yeah. Just let it go on.
Yeah. I mean, it's not my class of kids, but I do care about this. Anyway, so August 21st, 2014, we have the Alexis J report that was released, which, of course, is one of those sort of seminal moments where it was a very credible person who went in and found exactly what the far right had been saying had been going on the whole time. As she says, quote, by far the majority of the perpetrators were described as Asian by the victims, meaning Pakistani Muslim or Bangladeshi Muslim. Yet throughout the entire period, councillors did not engage directly with the Pakistani heritage community to discuss how best they could jointly address the issue. Some councillors seemed to think it was a one-off problem, which they hoped would go away. Several staff described their nervousness about identifying the ethnic origin of the perpetrators for fear of being thought racist. Others remember clear direction from the managers not to do so. Again, this is something I think we should go over in a separate podcast of its own, just because I remember when it came out at the time, and I remember talking to V about this, and he was like, there's no way. There's no way. I was like, you don't understand what it's like here. You know, you do not understand the power of political correctness in this country.
Most of the population thought, come on, there's no way for a while as well.
Yeah, that's true. So after this, on August the 30th, 2014, love the Times headline here, Muslims disown grooming gangs. Still Muslims.
To disown something, you have to have owned it before.
That's true. It's a good point. But what I love about this is just Muslims, just all Muslims everywhere, just disown them. Very inclusive headline. But this is Muslim leaders in Rotherham denounced the police and council for failing to prevent groups of men from abusing 1,400 children over 16 years. Addressing a community centre, Mubeen Hussain, the founder of the Rotherham Muslim group, condemned the behaviour of the abusers and hit back at what he said were unfair accusations of a cover-up. Were they unfair? It's disgusting that in a community like ours, these types of things can happen. The authorities, the police were aware, social services were aware, the council were aware. And then there is this propaganda and misconception going through that the community was aware. Right. So the community in which the trafficking of thousands of English girls was happening had no idea. All the Labour councillors knew, the police knew, the social services knew, but the community in which this happened, no one had any idea.
They just thought they were girlfriends or something.
It's a bloody stretch, isn't it? Who were the girls being prostituted to? 20 a week. 1,400 girls. That's a lot of men.
That's just one town.
That's just Rotherham, where it was 10% Muslim.
Yeah.
But the point, as you can see, he's trying to prevent shame on the community itself. Shame on the Labour Party, shame on the councillors, shame on the police, but no shame on the Muslim community.
Just to take a stab at about whether or not the Rotherham community knew, I think it is Rotherham. We ran the numbers and the number of suspects, like men who were suspects of raping children, who were Muslim men. And the police gave us that number. And then you compare it to the working age male population, so basically sexually active, and you get one in four Muslim men were suspects.
Because actually Rotherham didn't have a very large Muslim community at the time.
No, but that if one in four are suspects, they've actually taken part.
Yeah. Who are actually in the gang itself.
Should we assume that maybe, I don't know, another one in four knew? So we're up to 50%.
All the customers of them?
Like, I think to
who knows?
There's going to be more suspects. There are going to be more people who did it than suspects.
Exactly, right? So it's a very large percentage of the Rotherham Muslim community.
The community didn't know. Only half the community know.
Exactly. And so Hussain, angry that people were suggesting the community was responsible, says, it is clear that what these individuals did were acts of criminal activity. They are not part of our community. Well, where are they from then? Did they just drop from the sky? Are they aliens? Why are you related to them?
Well, not. They're criminals. Well, not. Trust us.
He said, it's not a Pakistani or Muslim problem. There's nowhere in Pakistani culture that condones such action. Nowhere in the Islamic faith or religious scriptures that supports such action. 2014 was a much more innocent time, remember? Now, that's not the only Muslim opinion. You have other Muslims who are of the opinion of the total opposite, as Dr. Taj we covered earlier. But in October 2014, Nazia Afzal came out and said the precise opposite. So one person, or a couple of people are telling the truth, and a couple of people are lying about this.
I think the guy saying there's nothing in Pakistani culture that could ever justify, he's probably the liar.
So there's nothing in the Quran that could justify this. Nazir Afzal was the Crown Prosecution Service's lead on child sexual abuse, told a meeting of Muslims in Bradford on Thursday night the community had to address the issue of street grooming, and that Muslims could not assume that someone else would address it for us. We do have an issue with people of our ethnicity, and we have to take care of it. We have to deal with it. The solution comes from within. It comes from you. Right. So at this point, we can't say that the Pakistani community is not aware that this is an issue that's going on. Right. We can't say that. They do know, right? In January 2015... Ed Miliband, the current leader of Labour, was like, yep, the Labour Party is culpable and didn't do the right thing on grooming. So the Labour Party taking responsibility for this. I deeply regret what happened and we've got to learn the lessons of it. Lots and lots of young people were terribly let down by Labour. Totally agree.
Then do something?
Well, that's too much to ask. But the point is, they knew. They were responsible. They covered up. It was anti-racism that led them to cover up, and it was the culture around women in the Pakistani community that allowed this to continue. And there was a conspiracy of silence to prevent shame from landing on the Pakistani community, because it's an honor-based culture and not a guilt-based culture. That's, I think this is all shown from what we've shown here. In February 4th, 2015, we had the victim's commissioner, Louise Casey, producing her report on Rotherham, which again, I think is worth going through. But in this, she comes to the conclusion that Rotherham Council was not fit for purpose. The council's culture is unhealthy. Bullying, sexism, suppression, and misplaced political correctness have cemented its failures. The council is currently incapable of tackling its weaknesses without sustained intervention. And this, again, we should go through this because some of the reporting on this, just extracting bits from this, is just terrible. If you go to the Daily Mail, published an article about this. Police were said to be aware that of various victims. In one case, a victim was raped with a broken bottle and ordered to kiss perpetrator's feet at gunpoint, but never took any action. So ritual humiliation. In one case, an officer told a victim, "Don't worry, you aren't the first girl to be raped by X, and you won't be the last."
Oh, well, that's all right then.
Thank you, Mr. Police Officer. It's just awful. So the entire council cabinet was forced to resign after this report. And if you go to the next one, the government stepped in and took over. That's how bad it is. Going on, turns out that some of the councillors were accused of having sex with the victims.
But they didn't know.
No idea.
No one in the community knew.
No one in the community. Well, I mean, that other
Muslim... The representatives of the community, the representation of it, knew and was taking part in it.
Well, as Mr. Mubeen Hussain said, the Labour Party, the Labour councillors knew, the police knew, the social workers knew, but the Muslim community had no idea. But yes, two councillors, one of whom was still serving, and a police officer were accused of having sex with the victims. Moving on. February 5th, 2015, child sex gangs sort of assaulted a million people, said Sarah Champion.
I think she might have been slightly wrong. There have been a lot of guesses at this. I've seen some people say it's much higher, some people say it's much lower.
We can't know.
No. But point being, this is like communism, when you're arguing about how many millions are dead. It's like,
yeah. Well, she described it as a national disaster. And in an interview with the Daily Mirror, she said she nearly lost her mind after victims turned to her for help, unable to trust the police or local council. That's probably because the police and local council are also raping them. She is currently getting an average of 10 victims a week coming to her for help. This is awful. It's absolutely awful. She thinks it could be up to a million young girls who are raped.
Which is why the Labour Party took her off the women's inequality position after she said she was going to do something about this.
We'll get to Jeremy Corbyn's response to her in a minute. In June 2015, what was released from 2010 was a problem profile operation protection from the Birmingham Police Force. This also, there was another one. This was done in 2010. There was another one done in 2012, Operation Protection 2, in which the Birmingham police were aware that Pakistani grooming gangs were targeting Birmingham schools. And as the Birmingham Mail reports, the police didn't even warn them. Those gangs of adult Pakistani men hang around your schools? Nothing to say. What are you, a racist? Literally nothing to say about it. The unbelievably, right, they say the report shows that the police were worried about community tensions if the abuse from predominantly Pakistani grooming gangs was made public.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.